The following message, Biblical Thanksgiving, Part 1, was delivered to the adult Bible class of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, on Sunday, December 1st, 2019, by Rob Price.
Well, let me start by just saying Happy Thanksgiving. I hope we all did enjoy a happy Thanksgiving this year. Last Thursday was, of course, in these United States, our official national holiday of Thanksgiving that we call Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Day. So very likely most of us observed that day to some degree in the typical American fashion, and I hope that we did have a happy Thanksgiving this year. I, for one, am very happy that we still have a national day of Thanksgiving here in this country. Though sadly, in the minds and the hearts of many, I think the real significance of that holiday has been lost. But I trust that's not the case for the Christian. The Christian knows all about Thanksgiving. Or do we? Well, since it is the Thanksgiving season, I thought it might be appropriate then to consider Thanksgiving today. Not, of course, the holiday of Thanksgiving, but the biblical and spiritual practice of giving thanks. And this is going to seem very familiar to perhaps some of you. We covered this material about 4 years ago. Be that as may, hopefully, if it was worth saying once, it'll be worth saying again. So this is my plan for how we're going to approach this subject. Basically, we're going to look at the what, the who, the why, and the how of Thanksgiving. We'll begin just briefly looking at the what. What is Thanksgiving? What is it biblically? And next, we will look at the who of Thanksgiving. Who should we be thankful to? And the who may seem obvious, but there are some important points to consider under this heading. Then we'll look at the why of Thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? And then finally, we'll consider the how of Thanksgiving. How are we to properly and biblically express our thankfulness? So the what, the who, the why, and the how of Thanksgiving. We'll cover the what, the who, and the why in this hour, and then we'll look at the how in the 11 o'clock service. So let's begin then with the what of Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving? What is it biblically? So if you've got your Bibles, I think we'll start by looking at three passages of Scripture that talk about Thanksgiving, just briefly. The first is Philippians 4:6. So if you would turn to Philippians 4:6. And just so that there's nobody's wondering, this is some juice. It helps my voice. So just that's why it's this color. Philippians 4:6, a familiar passage to all of us, I hope. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So here we see that thanksgiving is a central component of prayer. Then turn over to Ephesians 5:20. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we're commanded to give thanks always for all things. And then over to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here we see that we're not only to give thanks in everything, but thanksgiving is the expressly revealed will of God for his people. So biblical thanksgiving, it's a central component of prayer. Thanksgiving is commanded in all things and at all times, and thanksgiving is the expressly revealed will of God for his people. So you can see biblical thanksgiving is a pretty broad-reaching concept. But sadly, the idea of thanksgiving, I think, has been greatly impoverished in our day. Hopefully, most of us were taught by our parents growing up to say thank you when appropriate as a matter of courtesy. And that's definitely a good thing. But true thanksgiving is more than just saying thanks for something. Biblical thanksgiving, it's an attitude of heart that comes from within and not just from the lips. Of course, that's not to say that it's a purely internal thing either. If you turn back to Ephesians 5, go back to Ephesians 5, and this time look at verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. So notice here that we are to replace evil outward communications, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, with good outward communications, giving of thanks. So true thanksgiving comes from the heart and is an internal attitude for sure, but it should also express itself outwardly. So the what of thanksgiving is that it is that attitude of gratitude, which is such an important part of the Christian life. Now, biblical thanksgiving is a central component of prayer. It's commanded in all things at all times. It's the expressly revealed will of God for his people. And though it begins in the heart, it also manifests itself in outward expressions of thankfulness. So having looked then briefly at the what of thanksgiving, let's next look at the who of thanksgiving. And this one might seem obvious, but there are some important points to mention under this heading. When considering this matter of thanksgiving, it's important to realize that there are two parties involved, right? Or at least there should be two parties involved. There's the person who is giving thanks, and then there's the person or persons to whom thanks are given. Clearly, when we're talking about having a disposition of thankfulness, we're referring to ourselves, right, to our own hearts. We should have this attitude of gratitude within us. We should be motivated from within by true thankfulness. And it's just as clear to whom all that thanks should be given, right? Well, apparently not. Let me ask this. What were all the atheists doing this past Thursday? And when I say atheists, I'm not only referring to those outspoken haters of God and Christ, but also to all those practical atheists in this country. People who, though they may not openly deny God, yet pretty much live their lives as if God didn't exist. They rarely, if ever, go to church to be with God's people. They rarely read God's word, the Bible, and rarely ever truly commune with God in prayer. And that they have little time for God. And so while they may acknowledge God somewhat, there are not much difference in practice from an atheist. So I have no doubt that there were many practical atheists who gathered together last Thursday for turkey and stuffing and pie. And very likely many of those practical atheists even took time to go around the table and say what they were thankful for. So we might ask, how can people with no real regard for God talk about what they're thankful for? Well, because while they may know something of the what of thanksgiving, they don't really understand the who of thanksgiving. For example, when a person like that says that he's thankful for his wife, what he really means is that he's thankful to his wife for all that she does for him. When someone like that says he's thankful for his job, what he really means, he's thankful for his company, for employing him. And I'm not saying that a man shouldn't be thankful to his wife and to his company and express gratitude to them. We should be thankful that way. But biblical thanksgiving looks beyond those second causes to the first cause. James writes, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Also, when some people say that they're thankful, or what they're thankful for, they aren't expressing thanks to anyone in particular, but rather that they just feel thankful. Right? What they really mean is kind of like they feel lucky. You know, I'm so thankful that circumstances just happened to turn out the way they did for my good. And while true thanksgiving, it should be marked by true feelings of gratitude, true thanksgiving is not thanks feeling. It's more than that. True thanksgiving is giving thanks to the one to whom all thanks are due. Again, just as we read, and we're exhorted in Ephesians 5:20, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul made it clear, very clear, who he was thankful for at the beginning, right at the beginning of most of his letters. Let me just read them. We don't have to turn to them. Romans 1:8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. 1 Corinthians 1:4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. And there's more, but that's probably enough. I'm sure that Paul was thankful to many of the believers that he was writing to. But he understood that ultimately God is the one to whom all thanks are due. So while it may seem obvious, I think it's worth pointing out then, we need to be sure we never forget the who of thanksgiving. So again, the what of thanksgiving is that it is that attitude of gratitude, which is such an important part of the Christian life. Biblical thanksgiving is an essential component of prayer. It's commanded in all things and in all times. It's the expressly revealed will of God for his people. And it, though it begins in the heart, it also manifests itself in outward expressions of thankfulness. And the who of thanksgiving is God himself. Ultimately, God is the one to whom all thanks are due. So then let's move on then to the why of thanksgiving. Why should we be thankful? And here we'll spend the rest of our time this morning. I would like to organize our thoughts on this heading under four subheadings. So if you're taking notes, four answers to the question, why should we be thankful? First, because God commands thanksgiving. Second, because spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. Third, because sins are mortified by thanksgiving. And then fourth, because spiritual graces are promoted by thanksgiving. I'll give them to you again. First, because God commands thanksgiving. Second, because spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. Third, because sins are mortified by thanksgiving. And then fourth, because spiritual graces are promoted by thanksgiving. So first, why should we be thankful? Well, because God commands thanksgiving. God commands his created beings to be thankful to him. And this truth, I think, is plain to see in the scriptures. We've already quoted several passages where thanksgiving is commanded. Let me just read them again. Philippians 4:6. This is an imperative. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Ephesians 5:3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, that had not even been named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And then again, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And of course, the Psalms are also full of commands to give thanks. And I'll just read a few here. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Lastly, Psalm 105, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. So this first answer then to the why of thanksgiving should be obvious. Why should we be thankful? Why should every man, woman, boy, and girl be marked by an attitude of gratitude? We should be thankful because God commands us to be thankful. God, our Creator, commands us, his creatures, to be thankful to him. But that does bring up another question. And why? Why does God command us to be thankful? Why does God want us to be thankful to him? Well, when God commands us to do something, part of the reason is that not doing that particular something is displeasing to him. And the Bible definitely tells us that unthankfulness is very displeasing to God. Let's look at a verse. We can see this clearly. If you turn to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, we'll look at verses 20 through 22. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The Lord does not have good things to say about those who are not thankful. We see this also over in 2 Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, the first five verses. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. So once again, we find unthankfulness in bad company listed among the most grievous of sins. But that still doesn't really answer the question of why unthankfulness is displeasing to God, or again, why he is pleased when we are thankful. I think the answer to that question has to do with the character of God himself. Now, sometimes when we consider God's character, we just need to accept that he is the way he has revealed himself to be in his word. There are some things about his character that we just can't really understand, but there are other things about his character we can understand, at least to a point. And that's because there is a place where we can look that sometimes can give us a glimpse into what God is like. And we can look at ourselves. Since each of us has been created in the image of God, and even though that image has been greatly marred and obscured by sin, we can sometimes get just a glimpse of God's character by looking at his image in us. So then, looking at ourselves, we notice that none of us by nature is thankful to others when they do something for us. That's something that we need to be taught, right, by our parents or by our society. However, we all by nature want others to be thankful to us when we do something for them. We know this to be true in our own experience. And those of us who are parents, I'm sure, have all experienced at times the grief caused when a child seems to take for granted all that we do for them. And especially you moms. And we can see how it delights us when our children seem to be genuinely thankful toward us because of some good thing that we do for them. It's just natural within us. And it's not just the parent-child relationship. It's all relationships where we can see this principle. I'm sure that all of us husbands have been, quote, in the doghouse at least once, and maybe even twice, for having neglected to express proper gratitude to our wives for all they do for us. So looking at ourselves made in God's image, we can perhaps understand something of the reason why God wants us to be thankful to him. If we put ourselves in his place, as it were, perhaps then we can understand something of why it is so important for us to express our gratitude to the Lord. Especially considering all that he has done and continues to do for us day after day after day. Which then brings us to our second answer to the question of why we should be thankful. First, because God commands thanksgiving. And now second, because spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. What do I mean by spiritual sense? I mean that faculty of human beings created in the image of God to recognize the invisible hand of the Creator who gives all things. Turn to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29. I was going to read this passage on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting, but I decided to save it for today. Anyway. It has a lot, as we'll see, has a lot to do with thanksgiving. So here we find David's prayer when all the people had given in abundance for the building of the temple. 1 Chronicles 29, we'll read verses 10 through 16. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name is from your hand and is all your own." Spiritual sense recognizes the invisible hand of the Creator who gives all things. So why then are so few, it seems, truly thankful to God? Well, because they lack true spiritual sense. They're more like the animals. How many animals do you know who thank God for the food they eat? Right, those of you with pets, we have pets. Does your dog or your cat or your gerbil, does he give thanks to God before he sticks his nose in the food dish? God has graciously provided that food for him, but he doesn't give thanks. And of course they don't. We wouldn't expect them to do that. They're just simple animals after all. But people, those people with spiritual sense, know better. I heard an account of a young boy from a Christian home. He was with a neighbor family eating dinner one night. And when the food was served, the family began to eat. And so the young boy, he asked the father of the family, "Well, do you not say a prayer before you eat?" And then the father, kind of nervously, said, "Well, no, we don't do that here." So the little boy, he thought about that for a bit. And they cheerfully answered, "Oh, you're like my dog then. You just start right in." True story. Maybe. Well, our God is sovereign and almighty, and he upholds all that there is by the word of his power. All that we have, even as David prayed, all that we have is a gift from him. He's given us physical life. He gives us our daily food. He gives us the air that we breathe. And he allows us to know joy and laughter and love. Even as David prayed, he said, "O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have is from your hand, and all is your own." So not a moment goes by for any one of us when we shouldn't be thankful. If we have any spiritual sense at all, we should recognize this. Spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. So why should we be thankful? First, because God commands thanksgiving. Second, because spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. And now third, because sins are mortified by thanksgiving. Now those first two are likely pretty obvious to us, but perhaps this third is something that we haven't really thought about before. Turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Just verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. When it comes to the mortification of sins, we're told that putting to death, that is, mortifying the deeds of the body, must be done by the Spirit. We see it also in Galatians 5:16. Turn real quick, Galatians 5:16. We should all know this verse, hopefully. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. You guys finish the rest of it? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But how does the Holy Spirit actually mortify sin? Well, if we were to read on in Galatians 5, we would find that the Holy Spirit works within to bear his own fruit, and the bearing of the Spirit's fruit expels the bearing of the fruits of the flesh. So as the Holy Spirit works graces within the heart, he causes the fruits of the Spirit to become manifest in the life. And those fruits of the Spirit are so antithetical, so in direct opposition to the fruits of the flesh, that the presence of the one expels the other. The soul can either be influenced by the flesh to do evil, or by the Spirit to do good. So as the Spirit works and infuses these godly graces in the heart, they simply overcome their evil opposites. Love drives out hatred. Self-control drives out drunkenness and revelries. Gentleness drives out contentions and so on. And in the same way, a true spirit of thankfulness drives out many sins. Pride, for one. What attitude of heart fuels thanksgiving? Is it not humility? The humble person is a thankful person. The humble person says that I have nothing and I am nothing. All that I have and all that I am has been given to me. But not so the prideful person, right? The prideful person says, I'm somebody special and I deserve to get what I want. All that I have and all that I am, I obtained by my own efforts and abilities. If I should be thankful to anyone, I should be thankful to myself for what I've done. But that kind of self-important, self-sufficient attitude just can't remain in a truly thankful heart. When we cultivate a genuine disposition of thankfulness, then of necessity, pride is pushed out. True thanksgiving also mortifies sinful anxiety. Turn to Philippians 4 again. We read it earlier. Let's read it again. Philippians 4. Verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're not to be anxious and fretful about what might or might not happen. We're instead to bring our requests to God, but note the attitude of heart we're to have when we bring those requests to God. We're to pray from a disposition of thankfulness. Without a heart of thanksgiving, our prayers can sometimes be nothing more than a way for us to vent our anxious fretting. You know, just a bunch of whining about all our worries and woes. If we want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, we need to offer our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. We need an attitude of gratitude for all that God has done and certainly will do for us. And closely related to that, true thanksgiving also mortifies the sin of covetousness and its companion sins of discontent and self-pity. person that isn't thankful for what he already has is usually the person who wants more. Right? The unthankful person focuses on what he or she doesn't have instead of what good gifts God has already given. The unthankful person is discontent with his present circumstances, you know, often to the point of self-pity, that oh, woe is me attitude. I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have what they have, that sort of thing. But if we're truly thankful to God for all he's done, all he's provided for us, and all he does for us, then discontent and self-pity will be a very foreign concept to us. True thanksgiving not only mortifies discontent and self-pity, it also mortifies the most common outward expression of those sins. And I'm talking here about the sin of complaint. One man has said that of all the sins in the modern church, in our society and culture, one of the most grievous has to be the sin of complaint. What do we usually think of as a direct opposite of thankfulness? Is it not complaint? Is it not a complaining spirit? How grievous it is when we do something nice for someone and their attitude, instead of being one of gratitude, is one of complaint. And you moms, you know this well. You make a nice meal for your family. Instead of thank yous, you get, what, this again? We had this last week. Why'd you put so much pepper in this? Can I have something else? Do I have to eat this? I mean, that's grievous. And how about our Heavenly Father? We are so blessed with abundance in this culture. And yet, how often do we complain about what God and His wisdom has and His good providence toward us has provided for us? Every day we have abundant food and clothing and shelter and everything else we need. Consider just the food. I'm now over half a century old. I've lived nearly 20,000 days on this earth. And you know, in all those thousands of days, there has not even been one where I've gone hungry. God has been so good to me. I have nothing to complain about. In God's good providence, we here in America, we live in a culture of abundance. But sadly, we also live in a culture of complaint. And even as Christians, we're so often influenced by our culture. For example, and I'm not going to look at anyone, I'm sad to say how often it is that I see one of God's children come through that door, and the first thing out of their mouth, I wasn't going to look, first thing out of their mouth is a complaint. It's so hot in here. Oh, it's so cold in here. Oh, I wasn't going to look at anybody. I didn't mean to look at anybody. But I'm just saying that how often that is. Does it sound familiar to anyone? A true disposition of thankfulness as a fruit of the Spirit in the heart of the believer is the best remedy and defense against complaint. When we recognize God's goodness and are truly thankful, we stop all our complaining. So thanksgiving mortifies pride. Thanksgiving mortifies sinful anxiety. Thanksgiving mortifies discontent. Thanksgiving mortifies complaint. And thanksgiving can also mortify the sin of worldliness. How can thanksgiving mortify worldliness? Well, it can be used as a test to examine questionable activities. Thanksgiving can prevent indulging in supposed Christian liberties that are really a violation of one's conscience. Paul talks about using thanksgiving as a test in 1 Timothy. Turn to 1 Timothy with me. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And by the way, I've been guilty of complaining about the temperature as well. First Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So Paul here says that if you can receive that food with true thanksgiving, then you should have a good conscience about it. So try this. If you're wondering about whether a certain activity is really your Christian liberty to engage in, then ask yourself whether or not you can sincerely thank God for it. You pray this prayer: God, I thank you for this. Whatever this is, right? Or, you know, perhaps a movie or a TV show, a song, a concert, you know, some kind of party, certain clothes, certain words, certain topics of conversation, whatever the thing is, pray: God, I thank you for this. I sincerely thank you for bringing this into my life. If you can pray that prayer from a heart of true gratitude and thanksgiving, then you're probably legitimately within your Christian liberty. But if that prayer of thanksgiving sticks in your throat, then I venture to guess there's a good chance you're violating your conscience in that thing, whatever it is. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So as I said, many sins are mortified by thanksgiving. Sins of pride, sins of fretful anxiety, sins of discontent, self-pity, complaint, and also sins of worldliness. Again, when we cultivate a genuine disposition of thankfulness, a true attitude of gratitude, sins like these can find little room in the heart. So why should we be thankful? First, because God commands thanksgiving. Second, because spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. Third, because sins are mortified by thanksgiving. And now fourth, because graces are promoted by thanksgiving. And this, of course, goes hand in hand with the previous point. As we already mentioned, sins are mortified when the Holy Spirit comes and bears his fruit in the life of the believer. And the bearing of the Spirit's fruit expels the bearing of the fruits of the flesh. We said that thanksgiving mortifies pride. And that's because humility drives out pride. And thanksgiving is fueled by humility. But not only is thanksgiving fueled by humility, but humility is also increased by thanksgiving. There's a reciprocal relationship between the two. The more we humble ourselves before God, the more thankful we will be to God. And the more we actively promote thankfulness to God and ourselves, the more humble we will be before him. Thanksgiving itself, if it is genuine, promotes humility, because in giving thanks, God is exalted and man is abased, brought low. In true thanksgiving, we recognize and express our gratitude for all that God has provided, knowing that without him, we would indeed have nothing at all. And not only does thanksgiving increase humility, it also increases faith. Where in the Bible do we find a definition of faith? Hebrews 11:1, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or some versions have it, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith sees the invisible. Turn to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So how does thanksgiving increase faith? Well, thanksgiving increases faith because in thanksgiving, we express our gratitude for things which are unseen. You're sure we see the food, right? See the food on the table, we may thank the person that prepared it. But when we thank God for it, we're thanking the invisible and ultimate source of that food. True thanksgiving is a constant reminder that there is more to life than what simply we can see and touch and taste. I remember an occasion many years ago when I was first coming to a true and solid faith in Christ, but my faith was shaky and uncertain. I was at work, which at the time was working for FedEx, driving a truck, and it was raining, and I'd stepped out of the truck, and Wade might identify with this, and it's a large truck, you know, it's got three steps down, and I slipped on the last edge where it was wet, and my feet flew forward, my head fell backward, but I managed to catch myself on my elbows, and I didn't crack my head against the steps behind me, so I got up, and I shook myself off and took assessment of my physical condition, you know, see if anything was strained or broken or tweaked. And when I realized that I was okay, I instantly thanked God for it. You know, I could very easily have hit my head and hard on that edge, right? I could have easily pulled or sprained or even broken something, but I didn't. I was fine. And I was thankful. Well, I was surprised. I remember being surprised and delighted that something had so fundamentally changed within me that I now saw what had happened in a different light. Different from the way I would have seen it before I had faith. I'd slipped like that before and caught myself, and I just chalked it up to my own youth and dexterity. But now I saw the invisible hand of God working all things after the counsel of his own will, and keeping me safe in that situation. I had changed. I had changed on the inside. The change was real. My faith was real. God was real. The gospel was real. Now, my thanksgiving on that occasion increased my faith. So how does thanksgiving increase faith? Thanksgiving increases faith because in thanksgiving, we express our gratitude for things which are unseen. So thanksgiving increases humility and it increases faith. And in addition, thanksgiving increases love. How does thanksgiving increase love? Well, think about this. What's the main thing that motivates us as we petition God in prayer, as we ask God for good things from his hand? So our motivation for petition, it's a legitimate self-interest, isn't it? Right? We are in need of things and we ask God for them. But thanksgiving is more often motivated by Godward love. In petition, we tend to focus on what we want God to do, while in true thanksgiving, we focus on what God has already done. And that increases our love and affection for him. Have you ever found yourself in a potentially dangerous situation? Like you're out late in the city or something like that, or you know, driving along a wet road or something. And you were kind of scared. So you prayed and asked God to protect you in that situation. And when God answered that prayer and saw you safely through it, you know, and your heart overflowed with thanksgiving, did you not also feel greater love and affection for him? You know, when we're truly thankful to someone for what they've done for us, it's quite normal for our love and affection for that person to increase. Right? You don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 116 we read, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. And I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So how does thanksgiving increase love? Well, you know, when we cultivate an attitude of gratitude by remembering to give thanks, we're reminded again and again of what God has done for us. And then our hearts just naturally go out toward him in love, greater love and affection. So why should we be thankful? First, because God commands thanksgiving. Second, because spiritual sense calls for thanksgiving. Third, because sins are mortified by thanksgiving. And fourth, because graces are promoted by thanksgiving. But in addition to all that, there is an ultimate reason why we should be thankful. What's the ultimate reason why we should be thankful? In a word, Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason we should be thankful. The greatest gift that has ever been given to any one of us is when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you're a Christian here this morning, then the ultimate reason you should be thankful is Christ himself and all that he means to you and for you. So again, why should we be thankful? God commands it. Spiritual sense calls for it. Sins are mortified by it. Graces are promoted by it. And yet beyond all that, the ultimate reason we should be thankful is Christ himself. Well, we've looked at the what, the who, and the why of thanksgiving. I said we would also consider the how of thanksgiving, but that'll have to wait until the next hour. But now in closing, I want to look at one last passage before we're done, just to kind of put the cherry on top, as it were. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Didn't really know where else to put this one, but I like it, so I wanted to stick it in there, and we've got time. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Some versions render that last part overflowing with thanksgiving. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him overflowing with thanksgiving. So brethren, as we consider all that we have to be thankful for, that the Father has given us his only begotten Son, that Christ has died for sinners, that God's people have been forgiven, that the Spirit has given us new life, that we have the Lord's presence with us even now, and that we look forward to an eternity with him in paradise. As we consider all that we have to be thankful for, may this abounding and overflowing thanksgiving to God truly mark all of our lives. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and pray and give thanks to our Lord. Our Father, in this season of thanksgiving in our nation, we, your people, have so much to be thankful to you for. Thank you for all that you've taught us in your word to show us how important thanksgiving is, Lord, how you delight in it. And Lord, we delight to give you thanks for what you've done. We thank you that you have so fundamentally changed us on the inside that we recognize your hand in everything, and all good, every good and perfect gift comes from you. And Lord, you have been so good to us. Thank you for this hour and time and the time to consider these things together. Lord, may we continue to meditate on this topic of thanksgiving throughout this day, and may it be honoring to you. May you be glorified in it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.